In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
We're hearing these stories of Jesus' transfiguration up on the mountain, and we can't help but be reminded of God revealing himself on mountaintops. We've heard that story before, amen? We know that God revealed himself to Moses on the mountain. But something different happened then than what's happening now. So then, when Moses went up to the mountain and he saw God, he would come down and his face was shining bright, but he would put a veil over it. Paul's going to talk to us a little bit in Corinthians about this concept of a veil, this concept of seeing the glory of God. See, we come here every Sunday, and we come looking for the glory of God. We come to worship our one true God, revealed to us through Jesus Christ, amen? And we come to see him, and I wonder sometimes if we're maybe a little bit Old Testament still, hanging on to that veil, like keeping a little bit of distance between us and the glory of God. You know how I know, right? This, brothers and sisters, is a place where we see the glory of God. This is where God comes to meet us every Sunday. He literally meets us in the bread and the wine, the very body and blood of Jesus. This is where he comes to indwell us. That's why this is the highest place in the building. It's better in the afternoon when the sun comes down just on the altar and the rest of the place is dark. If you haven't been here at that time, you should come by. We come to see the glory of God. We come to experience the glory of God in this space. And you all sit in the back. We went to an event last night and celebrated the Eucharist in the backyard. It was a house blessing. And I'm set up in the back corner of the yard, and I look up, and everybody's 20 feet away over by the house. I think, really, you can't even come up to the altar here. Small group of people, everybody knew each other. It's like, we can't even come near the space. Is the glory of God so frightening that we just can't bring ourselves to actually engage it? That sounds a little Old Testament to me, doesn't it? A little bit of that veil happening, maybe, so that people don't get afraid. Maybe we're still a little bit afraid of the full experience of the glory of God. And maybe to some degree we should be just a little nervous about it, but why do you think that is? Why are we so afraid to really engage with the fullness of God? I think it's because we know the truth. You come that close to the risen Lord, brothers and sisters, you will be different after. Why don't we sit up front when we come to church? That I don't know. I sit up front. I think it's because we're afraid other people are going to see us. We talk to the people online. It's like, if you're online, it looks like nobody's here. And we can have 120 people in here. It looks like there's 8 people when you're online. Every time I look online, it's like, oh, looks like nobody's here. Because the camera doesn't focus on the back rows. But we sit in the back rows, and I think there's probably many reasons for that. I'm sure everybody has one, and you're probably thinking about what they are right now if you're back there. But let's be honest, what's it really about? Somebody might see you. Somebody might see you experience the glory of God, and you might be embarrassed. I get it. I have my own moments. You know how I know what this altar looks like when the sun's over at the top of the building, and it's all dark in here, and just the altar's lit up? I know because I'll come in here. And sometimes I'll just kneel right here on the floor, just in the midst of it, just recognizing the presence of God. But if I hear a door slam, I'm going to get back on my feet. Maybe somebody's going to walk in here and catch me kneeling in front of the altar. Probably wouldn't be a bad thing to find your priest kneeling before the altar. But that part of me too goes, whoop, don't want anybody to see me worshiping Jesus. Don't want to get caught living in the glory of God. So we hide in the back of the church, just in case, you know, we get too close. God speaks to us, and something changes. And it becomes obvious that we were touched by God. We want to hide it Listen to what Paul has to say about that to the church in Corinth. He's talking about this concept of veiled. He's talking about living in this new covenant, not that old covenant where we hide the glory of God so people don't get frightened. He's saying we need to be visible in this understanding. I'm going to back us up to verse 1, chapter 4, just because I like it. Just makes sense having it all together. So it's therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. We have renounced the shameful things that one hides. We refuse to practice cunning or to falsify God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God. This is what we do. This is what Paul is saying to the church. This is what we do. In this new covenant life, we don't veil our face when we've seen the glory of God. When the glory of God shows up on our face, we go out to the world so that the world can see the glory of God in this new covenant. Amen? And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. See, we can't veil the gospel. See, coming close to the glory of God changes who you are, and other people see it. And that is actually the hope that we all have. That we would come so close to Jesus that when we come away, we will be different than when we approached. And someone's going to notice, I promise. And I think we tend to lean into that Old Testament concept. I'll just keep that covered. We don't want anybody to see that. Because we're polite. Brothers and sisters, it's not what we do. It's not how we do it. It's supposed to be seen. And then you have to ask ourselves, if it's veiled, are we truly believing? If we are so afraid to come near the glory of God to where our lives are changed and transformed, where is our faith really? If we do not believe in the transforming love of Jesus Christ to the level that we are willing to allow our own lives to be transformed, do we truly believe? Or has the God of this world blinded our minds? The God of this world, this evil one, distracted us at such a level we haven't truly seen God. If every time we are invited to the opportunity for that, we hold back and say, nah, that's okay. Not for me. What does that really say about our faith in Jesus Christ? If every time our stuff comes up, our pain, our sorrow, our grief, all the things that can happen, all the things that do happen in our lives that cause us shame and sorrow, if in those moments, every time we do that, and someone invites us to come nearer to Christ in the midst of it, and rather than say, yes, I'm coming, Lord, I'm coming, we go, no, I don't think so. And we hold back. We keep that piece of us that we hang on to, that maybe we're so afraid of it that Jesus won't even forgive it. Where's our faith then? See, because we're supposed to bring it all to God. We approach His throne of grace boldly, brothers and sisters. And if we're holding back, are we perishing? When He wants to heal. Here recently in our community, I've had a few just incredible experiences with the risen Lord, I have to tell you. We had a vestry retreat a few weeks ago. Seems like forever now, but I know it was in this month, right? Was it this month? Maybe it was last month. It was supposed to be this month. I've been a priest over just about 12 and a half years, I guess, now. I've waited 12 and a half years for that meeting. 12 and a half years I waited for that vestry retreat to happen. Not that the other ones didn't serve purpose, but this vestry retreat, we didn't sit and talk about all the numbers. We didn't sit and talk about all the plans. We ended up sitting together in prayer and talking to God. And I mean, for hours. There was a moment in the midst of that, we were so engaged in the glory of God, I stopped, I looked around, and this is an Episcopal church in Southwest Florida, brothers and sisters, and the majority of my vestry was sitting on the floor. I don't know if you understand that, what a big deal that is. How many of you spend time sitting on the floor in prayer? Not much. I'd love to kneel down right now, but that's not happening today for a lot of other reasons. But the fact of the matter is, here we were in prayer for hours. Now, some of the folks in this room on the vestry saw the glory of God. Did anybody see the glory of God? Vestry members, say, look, you're afraid to say so. You're still afraid to say it. You're a senior warden. Come on. We saw the glory of God. Amen. We saw people come to Jesus so close to the glory of God that when we left, they were different than when we got there. We had the same experience on the men's retreat. Now, most of those guys were early 8 o'clockers. Any of us other than the two of us that were there? We saw the glory of God there. Men coming so close to God that when we left there, they were different. They didn't even care who saw them. Trust me, where we were sitting and praying, they were in the front row. Brothers and sisters, that's what Paul is calling the church to. It's that most difficult journey that we're all called to make, and we all fight it, all of us. It's that opportunity to come so close to God that we see the fullness of his glory, that his very light shines in us and through us to the point where we are changed. It's that difficult journey that we often refer to of the difference of knowing about God and knowing God. And Paul speaks very clearly to it as he goes forward in his letter to the church in Corinth. He goes, verse 5, "For we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus." You cannot think that through. You can't. You can't even grasp it, really. We want to, and we get stuck there. We're going to think it through. We're the Episcopal Church. We think about things. If you were looking for the church that was going to tell you what to believe, how to believe it, when to believe it, you did not find it. If you're looking for a church that's going to lead you to come to find and discover the glory of God, and a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ through the knowledge of God, through his word, you found that. But you have to step up and you have to take the opportunities when they come. And so often when we have those opportunities, we fade. We slip into the back row. We're usually being very polite though for other people. So we say. I mean, I get it. I don't exactly love sitting up front. But coming to know the glory of God will bring you to a place where you just won't care what other people think about your relationship with Jesus Christ. Paul's calling us to it, and he points to that right there in verse 6. This is the God who has shone in our hearts. And we want to work it out in our thoughts. Well, how's that working out? How successful have you been thinking your way into a relationship with Jesus Christ? I've seen lives changed. One of my oldest and closest friends, who I buried this past summer, he and I were not model citizens when we were younger. And we did a program at our church. I invited him to come. Susan and I had already discovered this new understanding of our faith, the heart change that we had. Before I go any further, I ask this question. How many of you call yourself a Christian? How many of you would stand up and boldly proclaim you are a born again Christian? Not as many. See, there's a difference. I knew I was a Christian, and then I got too close to the glory of God, and that truth shone in my heart, and that's when I knew I was born again, you see. And I started moving from that. That's what encouraged me to invite my friend to this program we were doing, Alpha Program. You may have heard of it. He was not in a good place. And the final part of the program is they call the Holy Spirit Weekend. And he had been to all the pieces and the courses, and everyone was coming to church that Sunday morning to finish off the program that had gone on for a period of time. And he shows up at my house. We're getting ready for church. Comes in my kitchen door at that time because if somebody came to the front door, we knew we did not know who they were. And he comes in and he's weeping. He goes, "All our lives you've gotten me into all kinds of things." He listed them. I won't do that for you. And he goes, "But this you've gotten me into, I don't know what to do with this." And he stood there in tears because he had discovered a relationship with Jesus Christ at the depth of his heart. And we went to church and he sat in the back and he wept the whole time. At his funeral, there was close to 300 people. Different tradition. And the pastor, anybody who wants to stand up and say something can say something. 2 hours later, all these people bearing witness to this man's life, all a reflection of the glory of God, because he didn't hold back. Lives changed through him by Jesus. See, we got to quit thinking our way through ministry and mission. We got to get to the heart of it. And to get to the heart of it, we need to know that that's where Jesus lives, is in our heart. So we can quit negotiating who might see us, how much time we might be able to spare, any of the rest of it, and we'll just know that there is nothing more important than loving our God and loving his people. Now you're probably asking yourself, do I want that or not? My prayer is always that you want that, amen? People will come to me and they want to know, well, how do you get that? What's the formula? Well, it's all right there in Scripture. You just ask. Now, I think we do a disservice in our tradition. We stand up and state our faith on a fairly regular basis, but we do it in such a formal way, I'm not sure people even understand that's what we're doing. Sometimes we do it in such a way, I find it quite beautiful. But sometimes I think people are missing what they're actually doing. They're just words that we say. they become too familiar. Amen? So I'm going to use some unfamiliar words. And I'm going to ask you to do something really uncomfortable, probably not as uncomfortable as what I really want to do right now. But brothers and sisters, I believe it is part of my job to help you find Jesus in a deeper way. In fact, not only is that part of my job, that is my job. That's what God calls me to do. And I see people come so close and then get afraid. Yeah, somebody's going to see you. So what? What if you see Jesus? What if you hear him speak directly to your heart and it changes you? So that's what I'm going to ask you to do. I just want you to close your eyes. I want you to actually close your eyes. I just want you to meditate on the reality of Jesus. I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer. Because I'm afraid maybe some of us have never done this before. So close your eyes and focus. And yes, you're going to say it out loud. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior.